Page 31. I made sure that there was no one watching and climbed over the wall and walked down the side of the house into her back garden to the shed where she kept all her gardening tools. The shed was locked with a padlock, and I couldn't go inside, so I walked round to the window in the side. Then I had some good luck. When I looked through the window, I could see a fork that looked exactly the same as the fork that had been sticking out of Wellington. It was lying on the bench by the window, and it had been cleaned because there was no blood on the spikes. I could see some other tools as well, a spade and a rake, and one of those long clippers people use for cutting branches which are too high to reach. And they all had the same green plastic handles like the fork. This meant that the fork belonged to Mrs. Shears. Either that, or it was a red herring, which is a clue which makes you come to a wrong conclusion or something which looks like a clue but isn't. I wondered if Mrs. Shears had killed Wellington herself. But if she had killed Wellington herself, why had she come out of the house shouting, "What in fuck's name have you done to my dog?" I thought that Mrs. Shears probably didn't kill Wellington, but whoever had killed him had probably killed him with Mrs. Shears' fork. And the shed was locked. This meant that it was someone who had the key to Mrs. Shears' shed, or that she had left it unlocked, or that she had left her fork lying around in the garden. I heard a noise and turned round and saw Mrs. Shears standing on the lawn looking at me. I said, "I came to see if the fork was in the shed." And she said, "If you don't go now, I will call the police again." So I went home. Page 32. When I got home, I said hello to Father and went upstairs and fed Toby my rat and felt happy because I was being a detective and finding things out. 61. Mrs. Forbes at school said that when Mother died, she had gone to heaven. That was because Mrs. Forbes is very old and she believes in heaven. She wears tracksuit trousers because she says that they are more comfortable than normal trousers, and one of her legs is very slightly shorter than the other one because of an accident on a motorbike. But when Mother died, she didn't go to heaven because heaven doesn't exist. Mrs. Peters' husband is a vicar called Reverend Peters, and he comes to our school sometimes to talk to us, and I ask him where heaven was, and he said, "It's not in our universe. It's another kind of place altogether." The Reverend Peters makes a funny ticking noise with his tongue sometimes when he is thinking. And he smokes cigarettes, and you can smell them on his breath, and I don't like this. I said that there wasn't anything outside the universe, and there wasn't another kind of place altogether, except that there might be if you went through a black hole. But a black hole is what is called a singularity, which means it is impossible to find out what is on the other side, because the gravity of a black hole is so big that even electromagnetic waves like light can't get out of it. And electromagnetic waves are how we get information about things which are far away. And if heaven was on the other side of a black hole, dead people would have to be fired into space on rockets to get there, and they aren't, or people would notice. Page 33. I think people believe in heaven because they don't like the idea of dying, because they want to carry on living, and they don't like the idea that other people will move into their house and put their things into the rubbish. The Reverend Peters said, "Well, when I say that heaven is outside the universe, it's really just a manner of speaking. I suppose what it really means is that they are with God." And I replied, "But where is God?" And the Reverend Peters said that we should talk about this on another day when he had more time. What actually happens when you die is that your brain stops working and your body rots, like Rabbit did when he died and we buried him in the earth at the bottom of the garden. And all his molecules were broken down into other molecules, and they went into the earth and were eaten by worms and went into the plants. And if we go and dig in the same place in 10 years, there will be nothing except his skeleton left. And in 1,000 years, even his skeleton will be gone. But that is all right because he is a part of the flowers and the apple tree and the hawthorn bush now. When people die, they are sometimes put into coffins, which means that they don't mix with the earth for a very long time until the wood of the coffin rots. But Mother was cremated. This means that she was put into a coffin and burned and ground up and turned into ash and smoke. I do not know what happens to the ash, and I couldn't ask at the crematorium because I didn't go to the funeral. but the smoke goes out of the chimney and into the air, and sometimes I look up into the sky, and I think that there are molecules of mother up there, or in clouds over Africa, or the Antarctic, or coming down as rain in the rainforest in Brazil, or in snow somewhere. Page 34. Number 67. The next day was Saturday, and there is not much to do on a Saturday unless Father takes me out somewhere on an outing to the boating lake or to the garden center. But on this Saturday, England were playing Romania at football, which meant that we weren't going to go on an outing because Father wanted to watch the match on the television. So I decided to do some more detection on my own. I decided that I would go and ask some of the other people who lived in our street if they had seen anyone killing Wellington, or whether they had seen anything strange happening in the street on Thursday night. Talking to strangers is not something I usually do. I do not like talking to strangers. This is not because of stranger danger, which they tell us about at school, which is where a strange man offers you sweets or a ride in his car because he wants to do sex with you. I'm not worried about that. If a strange man touched me, I would hit him, and I can hit people very hard. For example, when I punched Sarah because she had pulled my hair, I knocked her unconscious, and she had a concussion, and they had to take her to the accident and emergency department at the hospital. And also, I always have my Swiss Army knife in my pocket, and it has a saw blade which could cut a man's fingers off. I do not like strangers because I do not like people I have never met before. They're hard to understand. It is like being in France, which is where we went on holiday sometimes when Mother was alive, to camp. Page 35. And I hated it, because if you went into a shop or a restaurant or on a beach, you couldn't understand what anyone was saying, which was frightening. It takes me a long time to get used to people I do not know. For example, when there is a new member of staff at school, I do not talk to them for weeks and weeks. I just watch them until I know that they are safe. Then I ask them questions about themselves, like whether they have pets, and what is their favorite color, and what do they know about the Apollo space missions. And I get them to draw a plan of their house, and I ask them what kind of car they drive, so I get to know them. Then I don't mind if I am in the same room as them, and don't have to watch them all the time. So talking to the other people in our street was brave. But if you are going to do detective work, you have to be brave, so I had no choice. First of all, I made a plan of our part of the street, which is called Randolph Street, like this. There's a diagram of his street. It looks as if you were looking down at it. The street is in the middle, and on the top and the bottom are the plots of land with the houses on them. On the top, which would be one side of the street, he's numbered all of the houses. And we go from reading left to right, 47, 45, 43, 41, which is Mrs. Shears's house, 39, 37, and 35. Then on the other side of the street, or at the bottom of the diagram, reading left to right, we have 46, 44, 42, 40, 38, 36, which is our house, and 34, text. Then I made sure I had my Swiss Army knife in my pocket, and I went out and I knocked on the door of number 40, which is opposite Mrs. Shears' house, which means that they were most likely to have seen something. Page 36. The people who live at number 40 are called Thompson. Mr. Thompson answered the door. He was wearing a t-shirt which said, "Beer, helping ugly people have sex for 2,000 years. Mr. Thompson said, "Can I help you?" I said, "Do you know who killed Wellington?" I did not look at his face. I do not like looking at people's faces, especially if they are strangers. He did not say anything for a few seconds. Then he said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm Christopher Boone from number 36, and I know you. You're Mr. Thompson." He said, "I'm Mr. Thompson's brother." I said, "Do you know who killed Wellington?" He said, "Who the fuck is Wellington?" I said, "Mrs. Shears's dog. Mrs. Shears is from number 41. He said, "Someone killed her dog?" I said, "With a fork." He said, "Jesus Christ." I said, "A garden fork." in case he thought I meant a fork you eat your food with. Then I said, "Do you know who killed him?" He said, "I haven't a bloody clue." I said, "Did you see anything suspicious on Thursday evening?" Page 37. He said, "Look, son, do you really think you should be going around asking questions like this?" And I said, "Yes, because I want to find out who killed Wellington, and I am writing a book about it." And he said, "Well, I was in Colchester on Thursday, so you're asking the wrong bloke." I said, "Thank you," and I walked away. There was no answer at house number 42. I had seen the people who lived at number 44, but I did not know what their names were. They were black people, and they were a man and a lady with two children, a boy and a girl. The lady answered the door. She was wearing boots, which looked like army boots, and there were five bracelets made out of silver-colored metal on her wrist, and they made a jangling noise. She said, "It's Christopher, isn't it?" I said that it was, and I asked her if she knew who killed Wellington. She knew who Wellington was, so I didn't have to explain, and she had heard about him being killed. I asked if she had seen anything suspicious on Thursday evening which might be a clue. She said, "Like what?" And I said, "Like strangers, or like the sound of people arguing." But she said she hadn't. And then I tried to do what is called trying a different tack. And I asked her whether she knew of anyone who might want to make Mrs. Shears sad. And she said, "Perhaps you should be talking to your father about this." Page 38. And I explained that I couldn't ask my father because the investigation was a secret because he had told me to stay out of other people's business. She said, "Well, maybe he has a point, Christopher." And I said, "So you don't know anything which might be a clue?" And she said, "No." And then she said, "You be careful, young man." I said that I would be careful, and then I said thank you to her for helping me with my questions, and I went to number 43, which is the house next to Mrs. Shears's house. The people who live at number 43 are Mr. Wise and Mr. Wise's mother, who is in a wheelchair, which is why he lives with her, so he can take her to the shops and drive her around. It was Mr. Wise who answered the door. He smelled a body odor and old biscuits and off popcorn, which is what you smell of if you haven't washed for a very long time, like Jason at school smells because his family is poor. I asked Mr. Wise if he knew who had killed Wellington on Thursday night. He said, "Bloody hell, policemen really are getting younger, aren't they?" Then he laughed. I do not like people laughing at me, so I turned and walked away. I did not knock at the door of number 38, which is the house next to our house, because the people there take drugs, and Father says that I should never talk to them, so I don't. And they play loud music at night, and they make me scared sometimes when I see them in the street, and it is not really their house. Then I noticed that the old lady who lives at number 39, which is on the other side of Mrs. Shears' house, was in her front garden cutting her hedge with an electric hedge trimmer. Page 39. Her name is Mrs. Alexander. She has a dog. It is a dachshund, so she was probably a good person because she liked dogs. But the dog wasn't in the garden with her. It was inside the house. Mrs. Alexander was wearing jeans and training shoes, which old people don't normally wear. And there was mud on the jeans, and the trainers were New Balance trainers, and the laces were red. I went up to Mrs. Alexander and said, "Do you know anything about Wellington being killed?" Then she turned the electric hedge trimmer off and said, "I'm afraid you're going to have to say that again. I'm a little deaf." So I said, "Do you know anything about Wellington being killed?" And she said, "I heard about it yesterday. Dreadful, dreadful." I said, "Do you know who killed him?" And she said, "No, I don't." I replied, "Somebody must know, because the person who killed Wellington knows that they killed Wellington, unless they were a mad person and didn't know what they were doing, or unless they had amnesia." And she said, "Well, I suppose you're probably right." I said, "Thank you for helping me with my investigation." And she said, "You're Christopher, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, I live at number 36. And she said, "We haven't talked before, have we?" I said, "No, I don't like talking to strangers, but I'm doing detective work." And she said, "I see you every day going to school." I didn't reply to this. Page 40. And she said, "It's very nice of you to come and say hello." I didn't reply to this either because Mrs. Alexander was doing what is called chatting, where people say things to each other which aren't questions and answers and aren't connected. Then she said, even if it's only because you're doing detective work. And I said, thank you, again. And I was about to turn and walk away when she said, I have a grandson your age. I tried to do chatting by saying, my age is 15 years and 3 months and 3 days. And she said, well, almost your age. Then we said nothing for a little while until she said, you don't have a dog, do you? And I said, no. And she said, you'd probably like a dog, wouldn't you? And I said, I have a rat. And she said, a rat? And I said, he's called Toby. And she said, oh. And I said, most people don't like rats because they think they carry diseases like bubonic plague. But that's only because they lived in sewers and stowed away on ships coming from foreign countries where there were strange diseases. But rats are very clean. Toby is always washing himself. And you don't have to take him out for walks. I just let him run around my room so that he gets some exercise. And sometimes he sits on my shoulder or hides in my sleeve like it's a burrow. But rats don't live in burrows in nature. Mrs. Alexander said, do you want to come in for tea?